What's good? This is the Building People Podcast, where we're having edifying conversations about life, ministry, and culture. I am your host, Derek J. Murphy, and I am coming to you live tonight, recording on Facebook Live with some of my friends that have decided to sit, spend a little time with me tonight. And so grateful to have them with us. But before we get to anything else, just like we normally do, we got to start off with the praise report. So it may seem strange that I'm going to make this week's praise report in light of a wonderful person who has just passed away. Actor Chadwick Boseman just succumbed to a four-year battle with colon cancer, and we found this out on last Friday just as a shock to everyone. Nobody saw this coming. We didn't know that this was an issue. But the reason why I want to use it as a praise report tonight is because of the very simple fact that this man was going through some aggressive therapies and surgeries in between making movies for us. This young man has shared his gift with us in such a special way, and we have so many different ways to remember him, to watch him on screen, from Black Panther to his latest movie, The Five Bloods. It's just a list of great things that he's done, and he did it all while he was sick. And so that should be a testament to us that we don't really have any excuses for what we should be doing, what we feel like God has called us to do, and what we feel like we should be doing. Let's cut the excuses and do what this young man has done, and that's to follow his example and keep pushing, even when things are hard, even when things are difficult. He was a great example of Black excellence. And so we remember you in our prayers. We pray for the family and for all those connected to him, that we can find peace in this hour. All right. So this is, again, the Building People Podcast, and we are airing on freedomradio.com. I encourage you to go find freedomradio.com. And if you're listening to this from Freedom Radio, I thank you so much, and I want to invite you to connect with me at I Am Derek J. Murphy across all my social media platforms, and we can connect. You can tell me what you're enjoying about the show, even give me some ideas as to where you would like to see the show go. If you are listening to this through any podcast medium, we invite you to rate and review, because it allows us to be more discoverable when you share with the platform that you are enjoying us. So please rate us. High ratings only. If you don't like us, just ignore us. But if you enjoy us, please give us good ratings. Give us reviews on different shows. Let us know what you're enjoying. And if nothing else, share this with your circle on your social media platforms. That way people can find out about our little bit of inspiration and hopefully be inspired by what we offer on this podcast. So thank y'all so much, and I appreciate you for your help. All right. So today I want to share with you something that has been on my heart for some weeks now. And I am really grateful that God allows me to be used to teach and to preach his gospel. But even more than that, when we're teaching and preaching something that is so uplifting and edifying, and also gives instruction to us on how to live day to day, I think that is a privilege. And I am grateful that he is using me to do so at our church, the Rose Hill Church of God in Christ, where I serve as executive pastor. And so today, you know, I hate coming to y'all just talking to a microphone. So I decided to go live tonight. And I have so many of my friends and family that are online watching with me tonight. I got Robin. I got Michael. I got Valerie. I got my cousin Vertus. Hey, cousin. Gentry. Kelsa, Stanley Givens, my friend, pastor, the pastor Fred Thomas is on tonight. Tristan Love, Also have Miss Joyce and my niece, Kasia. Hey, good to see you. So invite those that are on Facebook. Invite your circle to come into the room and be a part of this conversation. What I want to share with you tonight is from the idea of carrying the weight. Carrying the weight. And this idea comes because this has been a year, y'all. 2020 has been a year. I know we all started off thinking that we were going to have our visions come to pass and all of these great things that God was going to do, not realizing that just 2-3 months in, that the world would come to a screeching halt. And while we have been going through this pandemic, while we have been going through this hard time, what's going on, Tim? While we've been going through this hard time, there have been a lot of people who have been carrying the weight of this season. And you didn't, for some, they've been able to carry the weight so well, you didn't even realize that they were struggling with anything. You didn't realize that they were dealing with whatever situations that were going on in their life. And you can see them operating in excellence. You can see them doing what it is that God has called them to do, being even on major platforms, doing great and wonderful things, and yet still carrying a great weight. And I want to encourage you tonight that no matter what it is that you're dealing with, there is purpose to what it is that you are dealing with. And so there are some weights that I have dealt with, and I've done some reading on, and I've done some sharing about, and I want to share with you that you could be someone who is carrying the weight of guilt. You could be someone who is dealing with and carrying that weight of guilt, or perhaps you're a person who is dealing with the weight of grief. And even some people have been dealing with the weight of being gifted. And we're going to get into all of that. No matter where you find yourself, there is purpose to this weight that you're carrying. There is purpose to what it is that you have been shouldering for this time. And I want to be some encouragement to you if you're carrying this weight. How can you do so? And how can you come out on the other side of this better? So here it is. If you are a person who has been dealing with guilt, here's how guilt works with us. So you are with you all the time. And so you know everything that you've done wrong. You know every lie that you've told. You know every way that you have slipped through the cracks. You know every way that you have come up short. And for most of the world, you are able to put on this face, right? You're able to put on this face and still function as if nothing has gone wrong. You are able to get through the day without having to deal, at least publicly, with what you have been what you have done and what you have come up short in, right? And because you know what you have done, there are some of us who cannot find it in ourselves to let go of those negative emotions that are associated with the things that we've done wrong. And all of us, here it is, all of us have done wrong. All of us have made bad decisions. All of us have made mistakes. All of us have screwed up. You know, we have done things that we knew we shouldn't have done, and yet here we are. And so it doesn't matter that you know, what's done is done, and the past is the past. And these are the things that we tell ourselves when we're dealing with guilt, or these are the things that we advise others about when we're dealing with guilt, you know, that even God can't change the past. And all of that is true. But some of us are carrying this weight of guilt a lot stronger and a lot harder than others. And we can't move past, what we have been, let me say it like this. We can't move past the things that we've done. We can't forgive ourselves. I've been told by some that forgiving ourselves is not actually a thing, but however you want to describe it, we can't move past the things that we've done. And how can you be a person of faith? How can you be a person who says that you love God and you are yet and still struggling with this guilt? When the scriptures have given us the answers in the form of "there is therefore now no condemnation," that is my life scripture, Romans 8:1, for those who are in Christ Jesus. I find comfort in that God has forgiven me. But here's what you need to understand. If you are a person who has been dealing with guilt, you've been carrying the weight of guilt, how do you get past that? Well, here's what you need to understand. That you've been with you all this time, and God has been with you all this time. He has watched you. He has seen you. He knows everything about you. He even knows the things about you that you don't know. He knows the number of hairs on your head, and not just how many. He has them numbered. He even knows when one falls out, and I've had plenty to fall out. And even though God knows everything about you, He still wants to be close to you. He still wants to draw you near to Him. He doesn't push you away, even though you have made whatever mistake that is. No, what happens is that when we make that mistake and we feel like we are not worthy to be loved, that we are not worthy to be in fellowship with God, we escort ourselves out of the picture with God. We remove ourselves from God. And you see that in scripture, because even in the beginning, when Adam sinned, Adam hid. He hid from God. And that's what we do. We hide from God. We separate ourselves from Him. And even though He knows everything about you, He's still wanting to be close to you. When Adam was hiding from God, God was searching for Adam. And can I tell you now that God may be looking for you, that he wants and desires to be close to you, and that weight of guilt does not have to be carried anymore. You can lay aside that weight of guilt because, you know, if God knows everything about you and God doesn't want to give up on you, why should you? If God still wants to use you, why should you allow yourself to be separated from Him? Yeah, that guilt is real. What you did was real. The results of it is real. The effects of it is real, but you don't have to carry that weight of guilt anymore, because God wants you to release that. You see, when you are full of guilt, you stop yourself and you put yourself in a position where you can't move in the things that God wants you to move in. So if you are a person who has been dealing with guilt, you just got to know that no matter what you've done, God still wants to be close to you. And if God still wants to be close to you, then certainly there are people in this earth, in your circle, in your family, in your career, in your field, in your expertise, in your Facebook's friends list, in your IG follow list, that still want to be close to you. Think about this, y'all. There are people who are still, even with all of the evidence, there are people that are still supporting R. Kelly. They are fighting for his freedom. And say what you will, you know, you are entitled to your opinion. But if there are people that are still willing to support R. Kelly, certainly they'll be willing to support you. That no matter what it is that you've done, you can lay that aside and move past it because you know that God still wants you. So if you're a person that's dealing with guilt, I hope that encourages you because God still wants to be close to you. But you're saying, okay, man, how about this? I've lost a lot of people. I've lost a lot of things. I've had things happen in my life where I've just lost so much and I'm grieving. I can't get past this guilt, this grief. I'm sorry. I can't get past this grief. Maybe you're a person who has had to deal with the death of a loved one. This past week was particularly difficult that a childhood friend of mine went on to be with the Lord due to complications from COVID-19. You know, I took it really hard when I found out that he had passed away. And I could only imagine, you know, that was just basically a casual acquaintance from long ago. I can just imagine how his family feels. I can imagine how his children feel that even before they are able to graduate high school, they've lost their father. If you're dealing with the death of a loved one, that's grief. That's real grief. And we've all been there. We've all lost someone that's close to us. We've all lost due to death. We've all lost someone who's close to us. And that hurts. How do you carry that weight? Or maybe you're a person who has lost a relationship. And I'm not talking about just romantic relationships. I know it hurts when you lose a boyfriend, you lose a girlfriend, or you go through divorce, right? But it is also equally as hard when friendships grow apart. One of the hardest things that I've had to deal with as an individual was when I've built a relationship with the person who was a member of my church, and I feel like that we have become friends, and then something didn't necessarily happen, but there happens to be a rift or a gulf that has come between me and the person, and we grow further and further apart until eventually there is no relationship anymore. That hurts. Can I tell you, as a pastor, that hurts. Pastors won't tell you that because we, as pastors, I didn't even intend to say this, but as pastors, we invest a lot of energy and time and love into people. And when the relationship dissolves, it hurts when the relationship is no longer what it was. Having a loss of relationship can cause a person to grieve. And it doesn't even have to be a person that you necessarily need to be connected to. You could even have a situation where you are connected to someone who's toxic for you. And when that relationship is no longer there, you can still go through a grieving period, even for a person that you know you don't need to be connected to. Even the person who has even been abusive to you. You can still feel that grief. And when you're grieving the loss of a relationship, that person is somewhere in the world and you feel this longing for them. Like you want to go and talk to them. You want to go and patch things up. You want to get, as we call, closure because you're hurting and they're right there. It's not like they died. It's not like the death of a loved one. The person is, I still have their phone number. We're still connected on Facebook. And you want to be able to have a conversation, but you can't because the relationship is lost. That hurts. And that grief is real. Or perhaps you are grieving poor decisions. Just like dealing with guilt, you resolve to do some things and it didn't work the way that you wanted to. You didn't go in the direction that you wanted to. You didn't get the results that you wanted to. You know how when you have all of these great ideas in your head, it sounds good. On paper, it sounds good. But when you put it into action, it didn't always work out the way that you wanted to. You know, this school year, I'm also a teacher. This school year is full of that. That a lot of things that we have made plans to do turned out, some of it is not necessarily the best way to go. And we grieve these bad decisions. We find ourselves stuck because we've done something and we've invested time and money into something that's not working out. And it's really easy to get stuck in the grief of a bad decision. Or maybe you're a person who has had to grieve the loss of a perception. You have this view in mind. You had this picture of yourself. And that picture is shattered. You had this belief about someone that was in your life. And you thought that they were doing something upstanding. And it turns out that they were not. And I know that there's a lot of talk right now about Pastor John Gray and what he's dealing with. And some people have been rocked and shaken in their faith because of what's happening with him. And it's because of that loss of perception. What you thought was one thing was actually something else. That loss of perception is hard. When you're disillusioned about people, listen, even Jesus dealt with that. When Lazarus was about to be raised from the dead, the scripture said that Jesus wept. And many of us have preached and taught that Jesus cried because of the death of his friend, when it was actually the fact that these people who had spent all this time with were actually having no faith in him. They didn't believe that he could do the impossible. And because of that loss of perception, even Jesus dealt with, it caused grief. You know, you have this confidence built in people, and when people let you down, it hurts. So there's a loss of perception. There is, when you grieve, the loss of your identity. You have this loss of identity that you thought what you were doing was being effective, or you thought that who you were was something that was being beneficial to the people around you. Whatever it is that you've lost and that you're now grieving, I know it hurts. We've all been there. We've all dealt with grief in some way, shape, form, or fashion. And because of that grief and that pain, it's really easy to get stuck. But what I want to encourage you is that, yes, grief is a part of life, but there is a time to grieve, and then it's a time to move past that pain. Grief is not meant to be carried forever. There has to come a point in your life when you can lay that grief aside and move on to the next thing that God has for you. So whether you're dealing with guilt, whether you're dealing with grief, or perhaps you're dealing with the weight of being gifted. I had a conversation on a couple of episodes back with Lakin Moore Westmoreland, and she said something that was very, very profound to me. I asked her, because she said that she was a musician at an early age and that she was carrying the service as early as 10 or 11 years old. And I was like, that's a lot of responsibility to put on a kid. For those of y'all that know me, you know, I was a musician and I started playing at around 12, but I didn't start carrying the service until I was about 15, 16. I was a little older, not much older, but to carry the service for a 10, 11 year old, that's a lot of pressure. That's a lot of weight. And I asked her, do you think that affected you? And she said, yes or no. I invite you to, yes and no. I invite you to go back and listen to that episode. But she said that it affected her, but she believed that it was ultimately for her good. And it was all because she had this powerful gift of music that she's still working today. As a young adult, she's still working that gift. But as a young person, she felt the pressure and the weight of that giftedness. And perhaps as a person who has a gift, who has a calling on your life, maybe you're dealing with the weight of that giftedness. That while people may be celebrating you behind the scenes, you're dealing with some strong and heavy emotions that go along with that gift that you have. So a couple of things that you need to understand is that your gift can bring you favor, but it can also make you feel alienated. You know, when you get favor from people and people see you being favored, it can make people feel some kind of way. You know how when people say, oh, she thinks she's something. Oh, he thinks he's something. You can feel alienated because you are getting that favor. The favor that you are experiencing in your life can cause alienation. And it's really hard. It's really tough when you are, living the good life, so to speak, and you can't share that with others in fear that they think that you're bragging, you know, in fear that they think that you are, putting them down in some way because you're experiencing something that they're not experiencing. You have to be very careful when you talk about the good things that are happening in your life. And just because you experience favor doesn't mean that people are going to always celebrate that favor with you. Yeah, your gift can bring you favor, but it can also cause you to be alienated, separated emotionally and spiritually from people that you had a strong relationship with. I've seen, relationships go south because someone started doing a little better. As my daddy said, you got a nickel over a dollar, and then people think you something. Yeah, your gift can bring you favor, but it can also cause you to feel alienated. Your gift can also make you attractive to people, right? People want to be a part of what you're doing. People want to be connected to you. But not only that, but that attractiveness can also make you a target. When you talk about a person who has something about them that draws people to them, you draw all types of people to you. Everybody that you attract, they don't mean you any good. There are some people that see you not as a blessing, but as an opportunity. They see you, they say a sucker is born every minute. And sometimes people see you and say, there's a sucker I can take advantage of. Just because you are attractive to people, that doesn't mean that you're going to attract the right people all the time. Being attractive can also make you a target. And that can make you a target for all sorts of things that can be detrimental to your life. And that's the result of being gifted. You know how many people want to take advantage of you when God has given you this gift for them to take advantage of freely? But no, instead of building a relationship with me in order to partake in my gift, no, people want to take advantage of you, make you a target because of your gift. You have this gift and your gift brings you favor, but it also causes you to feel alienated. You have this gift and it causes you to be attractive, but it also makes you a target. Last but certainly not least, your gift can give you access. It can open doors for you. But with that also comes the burden of responsibility. you know, there's this certain thing in the black community that we call a black tax, that in many families that there is only one member of that family who makes it. And the one that makes it has the responsibility of in some way, shape, form, or fashion, taking care of everyone else that hadn't made it yet. And you have family members that will make you feel like, you know, it's your responsibility. And in some ways, it kind of is. That as a people, some of us shoulder this responsibility because we have done well for ourselves. Yeah, it can give you access. It can give you power. It can get you money. But with all of that, it can come with responsibility. Well, let me encourage you with this. Even though you have a gift, don't allow your gift to become your identity. That's how you can deal with that weight, is that if you don't allow that gift to become your identity, then you can alleviate a lot of that weight that you're carrying as a person who's gifted. It can help you to discern those who want to make you a target. It can help you figure out what responsibilities are actually yours. It can also help you have wisdom to know who you can and cannot share your visions with. You have to be willing to let your gift be your gift and not let your gift become you. You are not your gift. That gift is just something that you possess. It's just like saying that if I had a nice car, that I wrap my identity in that car. As soon as that car crashes, there goes my identity. So just like that with my gift, that if I have a gift that's being effective and being used, if I have a gift that people are being affected with, that people are feeding from, that they are growing from. Yes, your gift is good, it's powerful, but it's not you. Don't allow your gift to become your identity. You have to be willing to let go of, you know, here's some of the best advice I ever received. Someone told me once that when people give you compliments, say thank you and keep moving. And you do the exact same thing when people give you criticism. You say thank you and keep moving. You can't internalize either one, not the compliments nor the criticism, because that's for your gift. That's for what you offer. That has no indications of who you are. And it's really easy to take on the weight of that gift and allow it to affect your person. Because see, there are people in your life that are only there because of your gift. And that's fine, because that's what God gives us gifts for. When God gives us gifts, it's so that others can be edified by the gift. And there are some people in your life that are only there for your gift. And that's fine if they are partakers of your gift. But then there are other people who don't care about your gift at all. They're there for you. And for those people that are there for you, you do them a disservice when you take on the identity of your gift and you don't allow yourself to flourish. You don't allow yourself to build relationships, and you only identify yourself by the things that you do. No, don't allow your gift to become your identity. So whether it is that you're dealing with the weight of guilt, the weight of grief, or even the weight of being gifted, no matter what it is, What I want to share with you is that no matter what it is, here's what the scriptures say about carrying the weight. Paul says to the Corinthian church in 2 Corinthians 4 and 17, he encourages the Corinthian church in Corinthians 4 and 17 by saying, and I'm reading from the NIV version. It says, "For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all." I'm going to read that again. "For our light and momentary troubles," our light afflictions, as it says in the King James Version, "our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us," they're producing in us, "an eternal glory that far outweighs them all." In the New Living Translation, it says this, "For our present troubles are small and won't last very long, yet they will produce for us a glory that vastly outweighs them and will last forever." If we understand that whatever it is that we are carrying right now, that it's only temporary. It's only temporary. And I know some of you have been dealing with that guilt for years, decades. You've been carrying the weight of what you did back in seventh grade. You're dealing with that grief from what you have lost years ago. You're dealing with the weight of that giftedness that you have been carrying ever since you've been operating in that gift. Yeah, it's real. And it hurts, it affects you, but however long you've been carrying it, it's temporary in comparison to eternity. You see, eternity is forever. Forever, ever. All right? So when you think of forever, longer than that, that's eternity. And so these few years, these few moments, in light of eternity, that you've been dealing with that guilt, dealing with that grief, dealing with the weight of your giftedness, or whatever it is that's weighing you down, it's only temporary. It's only temporary. And what it's supposed to do, it is supposed to produce in you a glory for God. It's supposed to produce for you a weight of glory. See, when the scriptures talk about glory, it's sort of like when you put on cologne, right? I take pride. I take absolute pride in smelling good. All right, you can ask anybody in my family. You can ask my nieces. Tell them all the time. I take pride in smelling good. Because when somebody gives you a hug and they step back and say, you smell good, you leave a lingering effect, right? And the glory is kind of like that. It's that lingering effect that you leave when you're no longer there. That glory that God wants to produce in you is in direct relation to the weight that you're carrying. Put it like this. For those of you that work out, I see some of my friends on here that I know y'all go to the gym. And you go to the gym and you're putting weights on the bar and you're lifting strong. And what you're doing is you're lifting, and when you lift, you are tearing down, you're breaking down that muscle. You're breaking down that muscle, and when you wake up in the next morning, your body is starting to repair itself and you can feel sore. It hurts. But what you did yesterday, though it hurts now, it gives you the ability to do more tomorrow. It's a direct correlation. What you lift today is in direct correlation to what you can do tomorrow. Same way it is with that glory that God has for you. What you are dealing with now, the weight that you are carrying now, in the guilt that you're carrying, or the grief that you're carrying, the weight of that guilt, giftedness. It's a direct producer in the glory that God has for you. That power that you can use to make your life better. I mean, listen, I would have never thought 20 years ago when I started college that I would be making my living from talking. And that's all I do. All of my money is made from what I think and what I speak. Every last bit of it, from what I think and what I speak. Whether I'm teaching in the classroom, preaching and teaching in the pulpit, what I speak, what I think, I would have never thought that 20 years ago. But all of the stuff that I've gone through before and during those 20 years prepared me for this moment. It prepared me for this season in my life. And if I had allowed myself to get stuck in my guilt, yes, in my guilt, if I allow myself to get stuck, then If I had allowed myself to get stuck, I wouldn't be able to enjoy what God is doing in my life now. I wouldn't be able to fully love what it is that God has for me. If I had allowed myself to get stuck by guilt, if I had allowed myself to get stuck by what I had lost and the grief that goes along with it. If I had allowed myself to get stuck by feeling alienated because I had a gift. If I had allowed myself to feel stuck because I became a target for those who wanted to misuse me. No. What I am carrying, that weight, is producing in me something greater. And something that will last forever. It's my hope. It's my prayer that, you know, through these podcasts, through the things that I write, through the things that I share, that people are affected and blessed and edified even long after I'm gone. That somehow or another, the archives of this podcast will find someone's ears years from now, and it will still bless them. Because if it's really a gift from God, there is no expiration on its power. And so that's my prayer. That's what I hope for me. And that's my prayer for you. That whoever God has called you to be, whatever it is that you want to do with your life, think about the praise report that we shared earlier. Chadwick Boseman had every reason to walk away from Hollywood. Nobody would have blamed him. But he quietly went through everything that he went through in order to make movies for us, in order for us to be partakers of his gift. And that's what I want for you. That's what I want you to understand. Don't get stuck. Well, that's it, y'all. I thank you for listening today, and I hope that has been an encouragement to you and blessing to you, that no matter what you're dealing with in this season, what you're going through right now can't be compared to where you're going in the future. So be encouraged, be uplifted, and know that tomorrow will be greater than today. Make sure to follow me, and I am Derek J. Murphy across all my social media platforms. Well, all except for Snapchat, because I don't do that. Make sure to leave us a rating or a review on Apple Podcasts or wherever you're listening to this so that more people can find out about our podcast and enjoy the same things that you are enjoying. And at the end of the day, know that God loves you best. I love you best I can. And we'll see you next time.